Okay, I'd like to call the meeting of the Senate State Affairs Committee to order. It is Thursday, May 2nd at 3:33 p.m. We are in the Belts Committee Room in Juneau, Alaska. It is a fine summer day out. Wanted to, first of all, members present, Senator Merrick, Senator Bjorkman, myself, Chair Kawasaki. We do expect to have Senator Klayman and Senator Wilkowski on the way shortly. We do have a quorum to conduct business. I'd like to thank Savannah Danbert from Senate Records and Joseph Giesbrecht from the Legislative Information Offices today. Today we will be hearing, in this order, CS for House Bill 129 dealing with voter registration. It's our second hearing, and I intend to move the bill out to the next committee referral, which is the Senate Finance Committee. We will hear Senate or House Bill 286 by Representative Colomb. Second hearing, we plan on moving this bill out, as well as House Bill 81, Vehicle Boats Transfer on Death Title. Finally, we have a third hearing on House Bill 146 relating to the regulation of fireworks, rules by request. And then finally, we will hear continued public testimony on Senate Bill 229 relating to gun violence. I know there are some folks who are online and maybe listening right now. If you'd like to call in, you can dial in. You can also send your testimony to senatestateaffairs@akleg.gov, senatestateaffairs@akleg.gov. Wanted to thank folks for being able to stay on for a second hearing on that bill. First off, we will go ahead and bring up committee substitute for House Bill 129. House Bill 129 was heard 2 weeks ago dealing with voter registration. We do have a committee substitute. I will have Representative or Senator Merrick make the motion.
Thank you, Chair Kawasaki. I move committee substitute to House Bill 129, Work Draft 33-LS0667/Romeo, to be reported out of committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note. Brief at ease.
We're back on the record. Senator Merrick.
Thank you, Chair Kawasaki. I move to adopt the committee substitute for House Bill 129, Work Draft 33-LS0668/Romeo, as our working document.
And I'll object for purposes of discussion. I'd like to bring forward Mr. Dunsmore, staff to Senator Wilkowski and the majority. Welcome to the committee. If you could put yourself on the record and explain the changes.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, I'm David Dunsmore, staff to Senator Wilkowski, assisting the State Affairs Committee. Committee substitute version R includes additions of several provisions from Senate bills which have been previously heard in this committee. These provisions include requiring Division of Elections to develop procedures for risk limiting audits. That's in section 15 of the CS. That was previously heard in this committee and in the Senate Finance Committee as part of Senate Bill 138. It includes provisions that are in sections 1 through 7 and section 26, allowing voters to update their voter registration within 30 days of an election. Current law, that's only allowable for president, votes cast for president. That was also previously heard in this committee as part of Senate Bill 138. It adds a provision in Section 22 of the CS requiring the Division of Elections to develop a cybersecurity program. This was previously heard in this committee as part of Senate Bill 1 by Senator Schauer, as well as Senate Bill 138. adopts provisions in sections 20 and 21, setting up procedures for allowing ballot curing. This was also previously heard of this committee as part of Senate Bill 1 and Senate Bill 138. In section 16 and 18 through 20, it repeals the requirement for witness signature for absentee ballots. This was also previously heard by this committee as part of Senate Bill 138. Section 17 is language that prevents special needs ballots from being rejected because of errors by poll workers or representatives. This was also previously heard by this committee as part of Senate Bill 138. Section 23 requires disclosure language on campaign communications that involve deepfakes. This was previously heard by this committee as part of Senate Bill 177 by Senator Hughes. And in sections 14 and 24 and 25, includes language creating a legal framework for campaign legal funds. This was previously heard by this committee as part of Senate Bill 246 by Senator Wilson.
Great, thank you. Are there questions for Mr. Dunsmore? Yeah. Seeing and hearing none, the sponsor of House Bill 129, the original registration bill, is here. Sorry, I know you might be on the floor, but if you'd like to come forward, or your staff member, Jacob, would like to come forward. This is a slight different one than you may have seen earlier in the daytime. But if you want to put yourself on the record, might be, and you have any comments to make basically on the House bill and some of the new parts that were added into the House bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Representative Sarah Vance, House District 6, for the record. My apologies. I just literally walked off the House floor. I have not seen the new committee substitute because I was busy moving a bill. However, what I am seeing here in front of me is same-day registration amidst a whole variety of other measures that I do not support. For a number of years, both bodies have worked on voting omnibus bills regarding a variety of measures and elections, and neither body has been successful in finding agreement and passing them. So this legislature, I chose to make a very systematic approach to taking different election reforms and making a very tiny slice of the pie on that we could find agreement with. And I received bipartisan support with a vote with 33 votes in the House on the original version of 129 to clean up our voter rolls. And so that is what I think we can have successful to show the voters of Alaska that we are serious about doing election reform in a systematic way that everyone can agree to. I apologize that I haven't been able to see all of the changes in the most recent committee substitute, but I'm not able to offer my support at this time.
Thank you, Representative. Are there questions for the representative? I would just want to state for the record that I know there are some changes in here from your original bill when it came through, but they aren't new issues that we have not talked about before. This bill will have to travel to the Finance Committee, and that's why House Bill had a fiscal note and needs to go to the Finance Committee, and we're trying to rush it as fast as we can. There might be some more changes that we can make along the way. We did take out one item that was in an earlier version relating to 16-year-old pre-registration. That had to be removed at request of the request of you, representatives. So that's just among some of the changes. And I just want to say that this was a big work in progress. I appreciate the original bill and the intent relating to list maintenance and registration and making sure that people the list is maintained and that the actual people who are registered to vote are able to vote. We've again added some things like artificial intelligence and deepfakes was one that is working its way through your house currently. We use the exact language. We also added some things in there maybe you haven't seen, but other folks have worked on in this body relating to attorney's fees and legal funds within the Alaska Public Offices Commission. So I just want to say that this is still a work in progress. We have a dozen days left. This bill will be on to the Finance Committee if it's the will of the committee to move the bill. So thank you for being here. I appreciate your time for being here, and we will continue the dialogue.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I did put you at an unfair advantage that I haven't been able to review this full committee substitute. Little out of breath coming down here from the floor, but that is where we're at in the session and doing the work of the people. So I appreciate the indulgence.
Great. Thank you very much, Representative Vance. Are there any other questions for Representative Vance or Jacob Almeida? Hearing and seeing none, Senator Merrick.
Mr. Chair, I have a question.
Yes. For you. Senator Bjorkman.
Thank you. Section 4, why would someone who supposedly registers the same day as an election need to be able to vote an absentee ballot?
Thank you. One of the reasons we put that in there, it's important that people know when you file an absentee ballot, you have to do all sorts of things like put your identifier. I wish I had an absentee ballot in front of me. You have to do an absentee ballot. Qualifiers, you have to use your, you got to put your birth date on there. You have to put your address, your physical address, your mailing address if it's different to verify. And that process is very dictated in current statute and law. It's not an easy process. So that's why we did it. I could also have Mr. Dunsmore maybe speak to more of the technical aspects if you would like. Mr. Dunsmore.
Yeah. Through the chair, for the record, David Dunsmore, staff to Senator Wilkowski. Through the chair, to answer Senator Bjorkman's question, the reason that these registrants would be voting an absentee or a question ballot is for two reasons. One, the absentee application on the question ballot form serves as a voter registration form. Currently, if someone votes a question ballot within 30 days of the election, their vote will only count for president, but assuming that they are otherwise, the Division of Elections reviews and determines they're otherwise eligible to vote, they will be added to the voter roll. And this ensures that since the precinct registers will still be finalized 30 days before the election, this ensures a process for reviewing to ensure that those people are in fact eligible to vote.
Follow?
Yep, follow up, Senator Bjorkman.
Yeah, I get the process of needing to vote a question ballot, but why would they need to vote and have an option to vote an absentee ballot on election day?
Mr. Dunsmore?
Through the chair, Senator Bjorkman, this wouldn't necessarily be on election day. This could be in this, since absentee by mail ballots as well as absentee in-person ballots can be requested within that 30-day window. If you had a voter who requested an absentee by mail ballot or voted absentee in person. An absentee in person is functionally equivalent to a question ballot.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Let's see. Are there any further questions on House Bill 129 before it moves along? Okay. Thank you very much, Senator Merrick.
Thank you, Chair Kawasaki. I move committee substitute for House Bill 129, Work Draft 33-LS0668-Romeo, be reported out of committee with individual recommendations and forthcoming fiscal note.
Thank you. Are there any objections? Hearing and seeing none, House Bill 129-33-LS0668-R is reported out of committee with individual recommendations and attached in forthcoming fiscal notes. We will take a brief at ease. Okay, I'd like to call the meeting of the Senate State Affairs back to order. We will now be bringing up a second hearing on House Bill 286. House Bill 286 relates to crime victim restitution. We heard this bill earlier of the last week. It is sponsored by Representative Julie Colomb. We have one person who's online. That's Kathy Hansen, Office of Victims' Rights, Senior Staff Attorney. We also have the sponsors, designee. I don't know if you want to come forward. If you want to add anything, lastly, I know that your representative is on the floor.
That's correct. Thank you, Chair Kawasaki and members of the State Affairs Committee. For the record, my name is Edra Morledge, staff to Representative Colomb. And yes, she's either still on the floor, getting off the floor, running to her next bill hearing. I know there was a question at the introductory hearing about the victims' compensation, the Crime Victims Compensation Board, and the funding surrounding that. I'm available to answer any questions if there's still any other questions about that. I think there may have been some questions about the intent of the bill, which I could speak to as well, just for some clarity. We're not changing current practice in crime victim or in victim restitution, but to just clarify that in addition to what is already able for the courts to order, that they may also include lost income, child care, elder care, and transportation expenses if those things are incurred as a result of participating in the investigation. And that completes my remarks.
Great. Thank you, Ms. Morledge. Are there any questions for the sponsor's designee? Hearing and seeing none, we thank you. And if I can have a motion, Senator Merrick.
Thank you, Chair Kawasaki. I move House Bill 286, Work Draft 33-LS1012-Bravo, be reported out of committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
And are there any objections? Hearing and seeing none, House Bill 286, Work Draft 33, LS1012-B is reported out of committee with individual recommendations and the attached fiscal note. We'll take a brief at ease. Okay, I'd like to call the meeting of the Senate State Affairs back to order. We now have before us House Bill 81 relating to vehicles, boats, registration, transfer on death, title. This is sponsored by Representative George Rauscher. Members do have a draft committee substitute for House Bill 81 in their packets. May I have a motion, Senator Merrick?
Thank you, Chair Kawasaki. I move to adopt the committee substitute for House Bill 81, Work Draft 33-LS, 0366-Bravo as our working document.
And I'll object for purposes of discussion. If I could have Mr. Hayes come forward and describe some of the changes to House Bill 81.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, my name is Joe Hayes, staff to Senator Kawasaki. Changes for version B. On page 2, line 27, it inserts with the names of at least one and not more than to designated beneficiaries, and the intent of this language is to make explicit that beneficiaries must be named in order to obtain a transfer of death title from the DMV. This change prevents a situation in which a person obtains a transfer of death title without naming recipients, therefore making them vulnerable to unintended transfer of their property. And that's the only change, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Hayes. And I think we may have a question or comment by Senator Klayman.
Not a question, just a comment. This change addresses the concerns I was raising at the last hearing, and what it makes it establishes is that for the transfer on death to work, they need to have been named when they submit the application to the Department of Motor Vehicles. And if you wanted to change that, you'd have to go back to DMV and submit a new one. So I think this addresses the concerns that I had, and pleased to support the legislation.
Great. Thank you, Senator Klayman. Before I remove my objection on the committee substitute, we do have a representative for House Bill 81. If Mr. McKee would like to come forward. And if you would like to make any comments about the committee substitute being offered on House Bill 81.
All right. For the record, Ryan McKee, staff to Representative Rauscher. And we agree with that. And I think it's some good cleanup language. And so we support it.
Great. Thank you. Are there any questions for Mr. McKee? Okay. Hearing and seeing none, I'll go ahead and remove my objection to adopting Work Draft 33LS0366. Bravo as the working document. Are there any other, do you have any other statements to make before we, thank you. We can go ahead and move the bill. Senator Merrick.
Thank you, Chair Kawasaki. I move committee substitute for House Bill 81, Work Draft 33-LS0366/Bravo be reported out of committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
Are there any objections? Hearing none, I move committee substitute for House Bill 81, Work Draft 33-LS0366/Bravo is reported from committee with individual recommendations and the attached fiscal note. We'll take a brief at ease. Okay, I'd like to go ahead and call the meeting of Senate State Affairs Committee back to order. We now have before us House Bill 146, Regulation of Fireworks. This is the third hearing of such bill. We do have a draft committee substitute for House Bill 146 in members' packets. May I have a motion to adopt the committee substitute?
Thank you, Chair Kawasaki. I move committee substitute for House Bill 81, Work Draft 33-LS-03. Brief at ease. Thank you, Chair Kawasaki. I move to adopt the committee substitute for House Bill 146, Work Draft 33-GH1356/Sierra as our working document.
And I will object for purposes of discussion and bring back Mr. Hayes to discuss the committee changes to House Bill 146.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Joe Hayes, staff to Senator Kawasaki. This change was worked on in consultation with the Department of Public Safety by concerns of the committee. So the current statutory category of saleable fireworks is replaced with two categories of legal fireworks: consumer fireworks, which may be sold to the general public, and display fireworks, which can only be used for public display purposes. A new pyrotechnic license is created, which will be required to purchase or possess display fireworks. Conforming changes to existing statutes are made throughout the bill. After that, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Hayes. We do have Mr. Bronice on, it looks like only for questions. He's the Assistant State Fire Marshal at DPS. We also have Lisa Purinton here from the Department of Public Safety, Legislative Liaison's Office. Don't know if anybody wants to make a comment on the bill before we adopt it. Ms. Purinton, if you could just state your name and your Affiliation for the record, welcome to the Senate State Affairs Committee.
Thank you, Chair Kawasaki. For the record, Lisa Parnton, Department of Public Safety, Acting Legislative Liaison, and the Division Director for the Division of Statewide Services. We just appreciate the committee working with the department in the adoption of this committee substitute, and we're hoping that the changes that were made in there were addressing the concerns to make sure that the intent for the department's needs to update the statutes will hopefully help not only enforcement, but for public safety in general, to the members of the public and to those operating fireworks licensure, either as wholesalers or as consumer permit holders. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Ms. Parenton. Are there any questions for the department? Okay. Hearing and seeing none, I'll go ahead and remove my objection to adopting the committee substitute. That is 33GH1356 Sierra. And may I have a motion, Senator Merrick?
Thank you, Chair Kawasaki. I move committee substitute for House Bill 146, Work Draft 33GH1356/Sierra, be reported out of committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
Are there any objections? Hearing and seeing none, committee substitute for House Bill 146, that is Work Draft 33GH1356/Sierra, is moved from committee with the individual recommendations and the attached fiscal notes. Take a brief at ease. Okay, we will call the meeting of the Senate State Affairs Committee back to order. Wanted to thank everybody here who is online. We are now bringing before us Senate Bill 229. We are reopening public testimony on Senate Bill 229, that is gun violence protective orders. We do have a number of folks who are both in the room and online. We will start by order in which they were received. We will stop taking any new off-net people at 4:30. That's approximately 30 minutes from now. So if there's anybody who wanted to call in, please make sure that you're in the queue prior to 4:30. We would like also to limit public testimony to 2 minutes, and a person can always send in public testimony to the State Affairs Committee at via email. At senatestateaffairs@akleg.gov. That is senatestateaffairs@akleg.gov. That will be part of the permanent record and then put online. First, we will go ahead and start with this public testimony off net. We will go to Rochelle Parker in Anchorage. If you could just state your name and your affiliation for the record, and you have 2 minutes.
Thank you, Senator Kawasaki and members of the committee. My name is Rochelle Parker, and I'm a resident of West Anchorage and a constituent of Senator Klayman, and I'm speaking in support of Senate Bill 229. I read about incidents of gun violence in the Anchorage Daily News almost weekly, and as we heard testified on Tuesday, firearms have become the leading cause of death for children and teens in Alaska, and Alaska has the second highest rate of gun suicide deaths and the fourth highest rate of gun deaths in the nation. I'm a parent of 3 young elementary school age children, and I'm very concerned and troubled by trends of gun violence on school grounds that we've seen across the nation over recent years. And I really believe that my kids shouldn't have to grow up in a community that says its hands are tied when it comes to preventing gun violence. And I believe this bill would be a powerful tool to prevent mass shootings, school shootings, and firearm suicide in our state. My husband's a pediatrician here in Anchorage, and he's worked with multiple patients whose family members have been killed by guns or died by gun suicide. And if an extreme risk law had been in place, it's possible that those loved ones would still be alive today. I read in The USA Today news article posted in the bill document that after the Parkland shooting in Florida, even the NRA agreed that there should be a way to ensure that dangerous people do not have access to guns through a structured process. And I believe Senate Bill 229 provides due process to achieve that result. Extreme risk laws do not infringe on the rights of gun owners because they rely on due process of law. Sufficient evidence must be presented under oath before a judge in order for firearms to be removed temporarily, only until the danger has passed. And the person can respond to evidence and provide their own evidence. And the 21 states that have extreme risk laws have penalties for anyone making false statements on the petition. And these laws have already withstood constitutional challenges. So I urge you to move this bill forward so we can be a state where gun safety is prioritized alongside gun rights. And we must do all we can to prevent tragedy before it hits. So thank you for your time.
Great. Thank you very much, Ms. Parker. Appreciate your testimony. We will now move to Sitka, where we have Victoria Curran. If you could state your name and your affiliation for the record, welcome to the Senate State Affairs.
Thank you. I am Victoria Curran, and I have been a resident of Sitka for over 40 years. I support Senate Bill 229. My life, like most people in Alaska, has been sadly touched by gun suicide and homicide. As you know, Alaska has the second highest rate of gun suicide deaths and the fourth highest rate of gun deaths in the country. Guns are the most effective suicide method. Lawmakers should be doing everything they can to prevent this catastrophic violence. Currently, over half of the U.S. population lives in a state with extreme risk laws. Let's join them. With 21 states and D.C., including Florida and five other states with Republican governors, having extreme risk laws, we are now able to use science to create effective policy. This is good governance. This science shows us that early intervention is the key to preventing gun suicide and school shootings. Family members and sometimes local law enforcement are the first to see warning signs when someone is in crisis that could pose a risk of gun violence to themselves or others. This is especially true in Alaska, where our communities are small and close-knit. Allowing family members or law enforcement to petition the court with evidence to obtain an order to separate guns temporarily from people at high risk has been proven to save lives. The science shows that at least one life is saved from suicide for every 10 extreme risk petitions granted. The ripple effect of just one gun death in our state is catastrophic. Imagine what it would mean for individuals, families, and communities if we could have prevented a dozen of the 125 gun suicides in our state last year. An ERPO can prevent mass shootings and school shootings as well. The benefit to humanity of preventing even one would be immense. Please vote for SB 229. It is supported by good science, and it would be effective policy. Thank you so much for the opportunity to testify.
Great. Thank you very much, Ms. Curran. We will now move to maybe. Okay. We now move back to Anchorage. We have Olivia Emery.
Hi. Thank you so much for your time. I'm calling in today to support SB 229. I don't know how many of you are aware of this, but Alaska actually has the second highest rate of gun suicide. And I know that I have been affected by losing a family member to suicide. And I know this isn't a partisan issue, so this should be something that we could get together and really come together as a community to do better. And I think that a bill like this would save a lot of lives. And really get people the help that they need. So thank you so much for your time. Bye.
Great. Thank you very much, Ms. Emery. We now have in Anchorage, Ms. Janice Park. Could you state your name and your affiliation for the record?
Hi, this is Janice Park. Some of you may know that I recently came with Moms Demand to Juneau and spoke to some of the legislators, but I am calling in my personal capacity right now. I am calling in support of SB 229, sponsored by Senators Tobin and Gray Jackson. And I'm sure that some of you are aware that federal law prohibits gun ownership where the party is charged with a crime of domestic violence. And that is supported by the fact that every month, at an average of 57 women are killed by guns by their domestic partner. I believe that an extreme risk protective order would serve to protect Alaska women who are predominantly the victims of domestic violence and are at greater risk of being murdered by their significant others than anywhere else in the nation. In addition, suicide by firearms, as you've already heard, makes Alaska the number two state in the country. Some of you may believe that this problem won't touch you. My dear friend, Senator Patrick Rohde, who served 18 years in this body, was a lifelong Alaska outdoorsman. What you may not have known is that in close succession, both his brother and his nephew committed suicide by gun. Then in 2005, his own son committed suicide by gun. I do know that Senator Rohde felt a terrible sense of guilt having been the person who gave that gun to his son. This is not something we would wish on anyone, and I know that if he had it to do over, he would have taken that gun from his son despite being a lifelong NRA member. Please consider the victims of domestic violence and the tragic consequences of gun suicide that could be averted by this bill that, even when Guarantor was in the House, polled at nearly 80% approval among gun owners. Thank you for your time, and thank you for supporting this bill.
Thank you very much, Ms. Park. We will now actually move into the room. We have Jan Bloom. If you'd like to come forward, just state your name and your affiliation for the record. And you have 2 minutes. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, my name is Joanne Bloom, and I want to thank you for considering ways to reduce the epidemic gun violence in our state without having to restrict the Second Amendment. Unfortunately, my family was involved in a domestic dispute, and it was darn scary. It was scary because he had access to a gun. He could have hurt us, others, and he could have hurt himself. If only he was allowed a cool-down period without access to weapons. SB 229, the extreme risk law, would do that. The law would protect Alaskans from gun violence and gun suicide. It is those with mental illness, emotional stress, temporary anger and revenge, ideation, that may grab the gun and act out of rage. You can prevent these known tragedies from happening. The voters gave you the power. The people want your help. Please support this critical bill and move forward with reducing gun violence in Alaska. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Ms. Bloom. We now will return back off-net, where we have Ms. Laura Spann. If you could state your name and your affiliation for the record.
Hi, my name is Laura Spann. I am a resident of West Anchorage, and I believe Matt Klayman was my senator. Sorry if I got that wrong. Thank you very much for your time. I'm calling as a gun owner who is strongly supportive of SB 229. There's been some really important testimony today that we've heard, and very moving, very emotional, very heartfelt. I, as a gun owner, I know it's important to be responsible for that gun and to keep it out of the reach of kids, to keep it out of the reach of someone who might hurt themselves or hurt other people. And so that's what I can do as an individual, but we need to do that as a state, as a community. Make sure we can all be safe, that we don't have the tragedies that we've heard of in the past. I've been very close to some of these two instances that I can briefly tell you about in 2015. A very good friend of mine's daughter was shot in the head by a young man who family the night before had taken the gun away from him because he was just having a breakdown. Got the gun back next night, went out, and we had, you know, two people whose lives dramatically changed. Her, she survived, and his. He'll be in prison until he's, well, he'll probably die there. And then, many of you may or may not remember, in 2017, when we had a young man who went to the FBI and said he was very guilty And FBI sent them to API. All they could do was give him treatment for 4 days. He was out again, got on the plane, went to Fort Lauderdale, unpacked his 9mm from one bag, the ammunition from the next bag, and shot 5 people at the baggage carousel. This young individual asked for help. We are letting these people down. We're letting each other down when we don't take responsibility for the gun that apparently we all agree we should have. So I really appreciate your time. I would urge you to finally get this bill going, to make it a law. We need this now. We needed it yesterday.
Great. Thank you very much, Ms. Spann, for the testimony today. We now will remain in Anchorage. We have Mr. David Lockard. If you could state your name for the record. Thank you.
My name is David Lockard. I represent myself. I'm calling to testify in support of SB 229. I own a 30-06 and a 12-gauge. They're safely locked up in my gun safe. I'm an occasional hunter, and when I'm fortunate enough to get some game meat, my wife and I enjoy that. But I am in favor of this bill. Alaska has the fourth highest rate of gun deaths in the nation. We have the second highest rate of gun suicide. An extreme risk law allows law enforcement or family members to intervene before tragedy strikes. I urge Alaska to follow the lead of 21 other states and pass an extreme risk law. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Ms. Lockard. We now will go on to Wasilla. We have Rudy Poglich. If you could state your name and your affiliation for the record.
My name is Rudy Poglich. I live in Wasilla, and I appreciate your opportunity to give testimony. Very briefly, I sent an email earlier today linked to 3 stories that indicate that red flag laws do not reduce gun violence or suicide. The ACLU of Rhode Island laws could negatively affect people who pose no realistic threat to themselves or others, and there are real-life examples of that. Furthermore, there are civil commitment laws on the books in all 50 states already, so there's no need for laws like this. If someone is worried about a person, the police can be called. They'll come, and if they think there's a chance he's a hazard to himself or others, there's a process whereby they can be brought in for an evaluation. It's a recognized process with a range of options, and it's already in place. So I encourage the defeat of SB 229. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Poglich. We will now go to Anchorage, where we have Glenda Blaylock.
Hello, this is Glenda Blaylock. I'm calling in support of SB 229. Gun violence I've already lost a nephew to guns, and I almost lost a grandson to gun violence. So everything that everyone has said so far, I totally agree with. I really strongly support SB 229. All the stories I have heard these women talk about are heartbreaking. SB 229, if we can just get this passed, I really believe it will help at least save some lives here in Alaska. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Ms. Blaylock. We will now move to Kenai, where we have Mr. Peter LaBarbara.
Yes, hello.
Hi. If you could just state your name and your affiliation for the record.
Yeah, my name's Peter LaBarbara. I'm representing myself. I live in Kenai, Alaska, and I believe there's already laws on this. I'm opposed to House Bill or Senate Bill 229. I believe there's already enough laws on the books that are available to us to regulate this kind of, if there's a problem with that needs to be addressed. That's all I have.
Thank you very much, Mr. LaBarbara. We will now move back to Anchorage, where we have Mr. Terry Nichols. Do we have Terry Nichols in Anchorage? If you could just state your name and your affiliation for the record.
My name is Terry Nichols. I represent myself.
Great, thank you. Go ahead, you have 2 minutes.
I definitely oppose this bill. This bill is so flawed, it should die immediately. This bill leaves the door wide open for abuse, which has already happened in the 21 states that it's been adopted. This bill allows for individuals to be stripped of their individual rights based on false allegations and assumptions that an individual may harm himself or others. No proof of evidence needs to be given, only accusations to accuse this person. This warrant can be given on an ex parte manner without the knowledge or consent, and the only recourse the accused individual has is after the weapons have been either sold, seized, or confiscated. 21 states have enacted this law, but 28 other states have chosen not to enact this legislation for good reason. There is absolutely no evidence whatsoever that this bill has had the intended consequence in any of the 21 states that currently have it on the records. In fact, I can give you 5 instances where red flag laws either failed or would have failed had they been enacted. Highland Park, Buffalo, San Jose, Indianapolis, and Boulder. Several of those states had the laws and they failed. A couple of other places that would have failed had they had the laws. So it proves that red flag laws are not the end-all, cure-all for this issue. My recommendation is gun education starting at a young age, as they've done in Wyoming. That will train people on safety handling of firearms. This bill also is in direct conflict with 3 constitutional amendments: the Second Amendment, the Fourth Amendment, and the 14th Amendment. And the Supreme Court has, in fact, weighed in on one case, United States versus Zaki Rahimi. In that case, the Supreme Court held red flag laws unconstitutional. I strongly oppose these laws and wish this law die immediately. Thank you for your time.
Great. Thank you very much, Mr. Nichols. We will now move to Chugiak, where we have Mr. Scott Sikenga. If you could state your name and your affiliation for the record, you have 2 minutes.
Hello. Yeah, my name is Scott, and I represent my family and myself. I have 5 young children. I read history, and I also understand logic. Everyone who's in support of this bill, I hear continuous hearing how somehow or another these guns are killing people, or access to these guns are killing people. And it's absolutely insane. If you look at the statistics of any large city like Chicago, the more the government comes in to control the guns, the more it causes the law-abiding citizens to not be armed, which allows those who are not willing to follow the law to rule the land. I think that this is an absolutely idiotic bill. I think it is an un-American bill, and I think it's going to, in the end, cause the government and a political party to be able to come and take guns from someone who they don't agree with. It's a situation, it can create a situation that you are guilty until proven innocent. And that is not the American way. I very much oppose this bill. I think it would be it's opening a gateway to, if you read about socialist countries and communism countries, and you have friends in those areas, you'll understand how this is not going to save any lives. This is going to allow the government to grow bigger and larger, and eventually, if you're on the wrong political party, harm innocent people. I oppose this bill. I think we have books, laws in the books, and I think people can help their families when they need to. I know I've helped my family when I needed to in the past as well. Not family members, but friends. And we go and we say, hey, dude, I had a friend whose brother had drowned, and we were worried about him. We went over, we talked with him, and he just gave us his gun, and we both took him away. We don't need government intervention for every tiny corner of our lives. Let's do away with this. This is silly, I think. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much, Mr. Skanga. We will now go to Ms. April Roachford in Anchorage. If you could state your name and your affiliation for the record.
Hi, my name is April Roachford. I'm representing myself. I'm an Anchorage resident, lifelong Alaskan, mom of two, and a member of the scientific community. And I'm here to speak in support of SB 229 from all of those perspectives. As someone who loves Alaska and experiences gun violence regularly in its largest city, I can tell you it's problematic. As a mom, I live in fear of school shootings regularly. And as a member of the scientific community, I have a high respect for facts and science, and I use only facts and science to guide my advocacy efforts. So, as somebody that takes facts seriously, I have compiled some for you today. And all of these facts I got off of peer-reviewed articles from PubMed, and I'm happy to supply a sheet of references for my facts. So here they are. Fact one, states with a variety of firearm laws, such as red flag laws and secure storage laws, experience fewer firearm deaths. I have three citations for that. Some states have seen as high as a 13.7% reduction in gun suicide rates. And here in Alaska, that could mean as many as 16 lives saved every year. The third fact I want to share with you today is that states that specifically implement a red flag law, a state permit law, and a violent misdemeanor law could see a reduction as high as 27.9% in gun deaths, and that's from an article that was published just this year. So these are the facts. This is what scientists are coming up with, and they're doing it so that policymakers can gather these facts and use them to guide their decisions. And I really sincerely hope you do that today. So thank you for your time.
Great. Thank you, Ms. Roachford. Before we go to the sponsor's representative for maybe any final words, are there any other folks in the room who'd like to make a comment? Okay. Okay. Hearing and seeing none, we will keep public testimony open. And I also wanted to say that we do have a representative of the court system if anybody might have a question for Ms. Mead. Okay, hearing and seeing none, let's see if does the sponsor's representative have any last comments to make. We will keep public testimony open on Senate Bill 229, though. Okay, I'm getting a nod no. Okay, well, I will set a deadline for amendments for Thursday, May 9th. Thursday, May 9th, it's 1 week from now at 5 p.m., we will set Senate Bill 229 aside. At this time, we will keep public testimony open. Public testimony can be received through email. It's probably the easiest way. That is at senatestateaffairs@akleg.gov. senatestateaffairs@akleg.gov. I wanted to finally just announce that we will have another hearing, another committee meeting next Tuesday. That is May 7th. Tuesday, May 7th, 3:30 p.m., where we will be hearing, pending referral, House Bill 330, Restrict Prisoner Access to Digital Devices, by Representative Sarah Vance. We will have House Joint Resolution 18, the Social Security Benefit Reduction Repeal, pending referral by Representative Elise Galvin. And we will also schedule bills previously heard on May 7th, May 9th, and then Saturday the 11th. At this time, if there's no other business before the committee, we will adjourn Senate State Affairs. The time now is 4:30 p.m.